Well, if we could, let's take a few moments this morning to just open God's Word together, if we could. Before we do, can I ask you, have you ever had a day that didn't go the way that you had planned? Take that as a yes. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a month. Maybe a season in your life that didn't go the way that you thought it was going to go or the way you had planned. We had a day like that not too awfully long ago. And it's part of our story. We were living in the Wichita, Kansas area. We were traveling out doing ministry. We'd come back home. We'd travel out, do ministry a couple weeks at a time. And as we got to the beginning of 2015, we felt like the Lord was leading us to move in the direction of doing this full time. And as we prayed about that, we felt like God was leading us to move in the direction of living on the road for a season in our lives, doing this ministry. And so we prayed together as a family. We sought the Lord together as a family and thought, of course, Lord, if we're going to live on the road, first of all, what should we do with our things? And as we prayed about that, you know, we thought we could put everything in storage. But as we sought the Lord in that, we felt led to just get rid of it all. And so we took all the furniture and all of our things and put them out on the front lawn, put out a sign that said for sale, sold a lot of things, gave a lot of things away, and let go of the house. And of course, in the process of that, we were seeking the Lord and praying, Lord, what should it look like on the road? How are we going to live on the road? And as we thought and talked and prayed about that, we thought, you know, what if we just get an old school bus and convert that into a living space, and that can be our home on the road? And that's what we did. We got this old 1997 40-foot bluebird yellow school bus. And July 1st of 2015 was our target date to set out on the road. Not too long before that, we got the school bus. And so we pulled that in, and the boys jumped in and started tearing seats out of that thing and just getting it ready to and we just kind of rustically fit out the inside of it with some basic bunks and sleeping area and sitting area and whatnot. And July 1st came, and we set out on the road in our home on wheels. And everything that we own basically on that bus, besides a few keepsakes that people held for us. And so we set out on the road. We were headed up to the New England states for 7 weeks of ministry that we had scheduled, and some stops along the way, and then some stops coming back out of New England, continuing on west. July 1st, we set out on the road. A week to the day that we set out on the road, we pulled into Elkhart, Indiana, for our first night of ministry full-time on the road the next night, that Wednesday night. A week to the day that we set out on the road and we had an accident with the bus. And by God's grace, we got away with just scrapes and bruises. No one ended up in the emergency room or the hospital. But our home on wheels was done for. Shot. You know, that day didn't go the way that we had planned, right? It didn't go the way that we had planned, but just before we had set out on the road, the Lord had laid on my heart Psalm 34, which was going to be a theme verse for us in our ministry and on the road. And I quoted it a little bit earlier, but did you hear what David said in Psalm 34:1? He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I have to believe that David meant that both in good times and in difficult times, that he would bless and praise the name of the Lord. Because he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Right? What a blessing it was that the Lord had laid that passage on our hearts as we set out on the road. It was such a blessing and such a great reminder right there at the accident and in the days to follow. A great reminder that God is worthy of praise, right? At all times. At all times. Even when the bus crashes. Even when things don't go the way that we thought they were going to go. He's worthy of that, isn't he? He's worthy of praise at all times. You know, not long after that, I was spending some time in the book of James, and we read from that just a little bit earlier. And could I ask you to turn, if you would, to the book of James? James chapter 1. Let me just read again the verses that we read earlier, 1 through 3. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. In verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Could we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us everything that you purpose for us to know. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, complete, equipped for every good work. Father, you have saved us not by our works, but through the finished work of Jesus on the cross, but you have saved us unto good works, as Ephesians 2 helps us understand. Thank you for giving us everything that we need to be equipped for everything that you purpose for us to do while we sojourn on this earth until we take our final breath and enter into your presence for eternity. Give us grace to walk in your ways, to be engaged in the things that you have saved us to do and be, we pray. Bless now as we reflect upon your word. Let your spirit teach us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So James here, he's speaking to Jewish believers, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings, count it all joy, my brothers. He's speaking to the Jewish believers, and he's speaking to us, to all who believe in Jesus as their Savior. And he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Did you notice that he didn't say, if you meet trials of various kinds? He said, when you meet trials of various kinds, right? We don't come to know Christ and suddenly life is just a bed of roses or fields of wildflowers and everything's just perfect all the time, right? No, we go through very real difficulties and trials in this life. And James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And what I want us to consider this morning is that James helps us, gives us a lens to understand at least a couple of reasons why God allows us to go through trials. And this word trials here in the Greek, pyrasmos, means this: trials with a beneficial purpose and effect. Trials with a beneficial purpose and effect, and that are divinely permitted or sent. God not only allows us to go through trials, but even ordains that we go through difficulties, right? And James gives us at least an understanding of at least a couple of reasons why God allows us to go through difficulties and trials. And so he goes on here and says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces something." The testing of your faith produces patience or steadfastness. You know, when I hear James say that, I can't help but think of the parable of the sower and the seed. And you'll remember in Matthew 13, Jesus helps us understand what the meaning of that parable is. And as the sower goes along and scatters seed, one of the types of ground that the seed falls upon is rocky soil. And at first, a plant comes up and it looks like life. But then it says that trials come. And the plant withers. It dies. It gets choked out when it's tested by trials. On that type of ground, that rocky ground. Now contrast that with what James is saying here. For you know, believers in Jesus Christ, you know that the testing of your faith produces something. Produces steadfastness. Patience. For the true believer in Jesus Christ, when trials come, though they may be difficult, though they may be hard, though the valley may be deep and dark, and it may not even make a lick of sense at the moment, for the true believer in Jesus Christ, your faith will not be choked out, right? But will rather produce patience, steadfastness, and enduring in Christ. So God uses trials to produce in us steadfastness and patience. And then secondly, look what he says in verse 4, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So that helps us to understand a second reason that God allows us to go through trials. God uses trials and difficulties to mature us in the faith in ways that we would never mature without going through the difficulty of trial. And I'm sure you can testify to that, right? I know the bus accident is a small thing, relatively speaking, probably compared to difficulties and trials that you've been through, or maybe that you're even going through right now, and even compared to trials that we have been through. But I'm sure that you can testify as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you come out the other end of that difficulty, that you can look back and in the days and weeks and years to follow, you can look back and see ways that God has grown you up a little more in the faith because of the trial and difficulty that he has allowed and even ordained in your life. David says later in Psalm 34, "God is good." That is true. God is good. We've talked about that as a family over the years, long before the accident, that God is never not being good to us, right? even when we go through trials. He's told us, Jesus told us, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, right? And I believe that it's when we can grab hold of some of those kinds of truths, that God allows us to go through trials to produce in us things that wouldn't be produced otherwise. And God allows us to go through trials to mature us in the faith in ways that we would never mature otherwise. And that God is good. When we can remind ourselves of those kinds of things, preach to ourselves like David so often does, preach to ourselves in the midst of the deepest, darkest trial where we may not even be able to see the next step in front of us, but we preach to ourselves. That's why it's so good to know these things, so we can remind ourselves in the fog of trial, wait a second, God's using this. He's using this to produce patience in me. He's using it to mature me in the faith. God is good, though this may not feel good at the moment. He's good. And though he may feel a million miles away at the moment, nothing could be farther from the truth. He's promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, till you draw your last breath, and forever and ever and ever. And it's when we can grab hold of some of those kinds of truths, even in the deepest, darkest trial, it's then that I believe we can do what James has called us to: count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers. And you know, James isn't talking about some happy-go-lucky kind of joy, right? The kind of joy that James is talking about here, the Greek is a calm delight. A calm delight. The kind of joy that James is talking about here is the kind of joy that can exist even in the midst of trial. We shed real tears in the midst of trial, don't we? The kind of joy James is talking about is the kind of joy that can exist even in the midst of our tears. Because it's the kind of joy that isn't dictated by our circumstances, but it's the kind of joy that rests in who God is and in his character and in the realization that he's using difficulty to mature us in the faith, to produce things in us. God is good, and he hasn't left me. He's with me, right? It's a joy that flows out of that. A recognition and understanding of God's character, who he is, right? This kind of joy that James is talking about is a deep, abiding joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he has provided so that we can have that in the midst of even the deepest, darkest trials. We want to teach you another song, if we could, this morning. With a little bit of time that we have left, just a couple more songs. Oh, you know, before, I would be remiss, I forgot. I should tell you the rest of the story about the bus real quickly, because it didn't end there. So we were here at a church in the Elkhart area, our first real concert, full-time on the road, and on a Wednesday night, and we had the accident with the bus. We didn't know what we were going to do from there. We even prayed together as a family and said, "Lord, did we misunderstand your leading? Here it is, the night before our first concert full-time on the road. Lord, did we misunderstand you? Do you want us to go back? And as we prayed together as a family, we all agreed. We felt like God was leading us to continue on. It was interesting, insurance on the bus, we found just before we were getting ready to leave, we were going to throw down our insurance, and we found out that not many people insure a converted school bus. And so we weren't able to get comprehensive coverage on it, we were only able to get liability, and that at the very last moment when we had to leave, we finally found someone who would cover the bus for liability, and we were going to get, you know, comprehensive later, and because they require that you do an appraisal on it, right? And so we thought, okay, we'll get down the road and we'll get that. Well, we had the accident with the bus a week in before we could do that. You know, it was so beautiful. The church in Wichita rallied around us, and within a week and a half, we had two vans, a church in Indiana that we didn't even know let us use a cargo trailer of theirs. We hooked it up to one of the vans. We got all everything we could off the old wrecked school bus and got it into the cargo trailer, and we took off to the New England states. What a blessing that we were scheduled to be in New England to begin with. That's where I was born and raised, still have family there. We were able to stay at my brother's house, and we would travel out with the vans and do ministry over those 7 weeks, travel out, come back to his house. We had a home base while we were there. Well, those 7 weeks were quickly coming to a close, and we didn't know what things were going to look like from there when we left my brother's house. So again, we prayed together as a family. We just sought the Lord. Lord, do you want us to continue on, or do we stop here? And again, we just all agreed. We felt like God was leading us to continue on. We didn't know where we'd stay when we left my brother's house, but we knew this. We knew that if God is leading, we can trust him, right? We don't have to have all the answers or everything worked out. God knows, and if he's leading, we can trust him. Right there at the end of our time in New England, we were at a little church up in a small town in Vermont. It was on a Wednesday night, and on that night, they asked if we'd take a little break in the middle of the evening for some things that they wanted to do. We were sharing about the accident. It was fresh on our hearts, and just truths from God's word that we've shared this morning even. And a gentleman with the church came up to me during the break, and he said, Jim, can I run you across town? I want to show you something. And again, it was a small little town. I said, sure. We jumped in his car, ran me across town. And he pulled up in front of this 1989 40-foot MCI RV-style converted bus. And he said, Jim, my wife and I have been getting this ready for us to do ministry on the road. But as of late, we feel like God's keeping us here in Vermont. And the Lord's given them a beautiful little church plant in this town where the bottom fell out of the economy. There's a lot of homelessness and recovery community. And so they have this little church plant and are ministering to that community with the gospel of Christ and the word of God. And he said, Jim, as of late, we feel like God's keeping us here. We want you to have this bus. And it's the bus that sits out back here that was our home on wheels for 2.5 years, living on the road together as a family, traveling all over the country from the West Coast, East Coast, and everywhere in between. And, you know, we've talked about it as a family. It's interesting that God didn't give us the bus midway through our time in New England, right? We didn't need it then. We had my brother's house that we were staying in. But right there at the end, when we're getting ready to leave my brother's house, and we don't know where we're going to stay, God provides the bus. Isn't that the way that he works? He gives us grace as we need it, right? And we simply say with David in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I know that not every trial that God allows us to go through ends with a replaced bus, right? Sometimes the difficulties God lets us go through don't end the way that we might have hoped that they would. We've had those kinds of trials too. But isn't it a blessing to be reminded of David's words when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God is worthy of that, isn't he? God is worthy of that. I think Pastor's going to come and bring the invitation this morning. Let me just pray before he does that, and we'll close in a song this morning called 10,000 Reasons that we hope you know and love. We love it because it's based on the 103rd Psalm. It's a beautiful song. And so we'll do that in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you this morning for who you are. You are God. You are creator of all that is. You are holy in your very nature. You are good. You are a God of wrath. You must punish sin. Thank you for sending Jesus, who knew no sin and took our sin upon himself and was punished in our place, so that all who believe in Christ might by your grace be clothed in the righteousness of your Son, so that we can come into the presence of holy, holy, holy God, declared righteous, justified, forgiven by your grace. We give you thanks. And Father, thank you for your love for us. You said, cast our cares upon you, for you care for us, Lord. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being good even in the midst of the trials that you allow us to go through. Thank you for not leaving us in our infantile state, but maturing us in the faith and using your word and your spirit in even trials, Lord, to grow us in the faith. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.